What kind of changes is this bill looking to introduce to the, say, current system?
Well, it's basically a radical revamp of Australian privacy law. What we've had in the past, we've had our National Privacy Act, which covers both the Commonwealth government and the private sector. It's got huge exclusions, big carve-outs. And sitting alongside that, we've had a very complex, a patchwork of law at the Commonwealth level that deals with specific agencies and specific types of information or specific data collection. So tax data, your tax records, your medical records, the census, that sort of thing. So this new system will supposedly improve services in government and outside. As you pointed out, they'll be sharing with a range of institutions. Big problem here in terms of security. Big problem in terms of we're not asking hard questions about whether this sharing is indeed justified. The minister's saying, okay, it's going to improve services. This is the minister who's been in denial regarding robo-debt. He is indeed the minister for robo-debt. What we're likely to see is this sharing, and it's going to be very, very broad. This sharing is simply putting a bandage on existing failed government IT systems. So we should be asking some really hard questions about this.
Firstly, on the security aspect, would you mind sort of unfolding a little bit further and in terms of the security risks for the data involved?
Okay, we're going to have widespread sharing across the Commonwealth government. They'll be sharing with state and territory governments. They'll be sharing with universities. Probably we'll have sharing with business. That's certainly been an idea that's been kicked around in the past. It's a model that we've seen in the UK, particularly in relation to selling off medical data. What we know, if we're being hard-headed, we know that many government agencies are not very good at security. So in New South Wales, literally within the last couple of weeks, the state government has acknowledged that a mere 250,000 people have been affected by an unauthorized release, exposure of fairly sensitive personal information. If we're talking at the Commonwealth level, we had problems with the census, we had problems with, famously, problems with the health system, where a mere 1.5 million people had information released. Government is not very good at securing information, and there are a range of reasons for this. I'm not saying that sort of that their government is malicious. There are inherent architectural problems, but overall, the more sharing you do, the higher likelihood that data will get out there. And we have with the proposed new system, and the bill will almost certainly go through Parliament, we have yet another privacy watchdog. Most people don't realise that we have the Office of Australian Information Commissioner, which includes Privacy Commissioner. It's a watchdog that's rather timid. It's grossly under-resourced. They acknowledge they're under-resourced. Sitting alongside that, most people don't realise this, we have a Health Privacy Commissioner in a separate body. And now, under the new scheme, we're going to have a Data Commissioner office, which will supervise the sharing. So we've got balkanization of supervision of an increasingly complex and an increasingly mucky and increasingly dangerous privacy system. We will almost certainly see the traditional model where government agencies are told, well, you're in government, basically we trust you, just get on with it. And if they misbehave, nothing much will happen. Ministers won't lose their jobs. Senior bureaucrats won't lose their jobs. And the different agencies will do the, well, it's not my problem. that's your problem. So responsibility slips between the cracks.
It is kind of, when you put it that way, obviously, when we look at the situation in government, we will say we trust our government with, I don't know if we can say we can trust our government, but we will say we can trust government agencies to do these kind of right things. I guess my concern lies with the private enterprise, the business side of things that will also be sharing in some of this data. In terms of these accredited bodies such as universities and certain businesses, how will we know who that data is actually being shared with, and what does it sort of take for them to be accredited?
They'll have to do a number of tests. At this stage, we don't have a lot of information.
Mm.
What we have is an overall proposal. The details are still to be sorted out, and this is a big question. Some universities and some parts of universities are absolutely rigorous. They're ethical, they're strict, they're very effective. Others, regrettably, are not. People in New South Wales might remember the problem with dear old ANU, so arguably Australia's leading university. I'm sure people at Sydney will hate me for saying that, but ANU, leading university, very, very wealthy, highly prestigious, lots of dealings with government. It appears that, I think the usual term is overseas actors, probably China, have been walking through the ANU network for a couple of years undetected. How very embarrassing! So should we blithely trust assurances that it will all be okay? And there's an issue that the government hasn't addressed. Stuart Robert came out with this marvelous statement that, well, firstly, you can trust the government. Secondly, this will make a government better. And thirdly, you have a choice. The reality is, data we're talking about, typically you don't have a choice. You know, Australians need driver's licenses. They need tax file numbers. If we're talking about sort of state and local government, we need registers regarding property. If you want a gun, legitimately, you need a gun license, a boat license. There are vast pools of data out there accumulated by government and on occasion quite legitimately used. You don't have a choice about whether you supply that information. You don't comply with the census, you're in trouble. You don't turn up to vote, you're in trouble. You don't have a choice with these things. So the comment that, well, okay, you'll be magically somehow able to opt out, that, I'm sorry, is just not true. It hasn't been agreed in the fairly sort of small scale, largely behind closed doors consultations that have been going on about the scheme over the last couple of years. So the minister at best is being uninformed. My view, given what we've seen with denial about, say, Robodebt, I think he's being disingenuous.
Well, it is a Pandora's box situation. Once this one's open, it will not sort of go closed again. So obviously, do need to be asking these questions as this one sort of marches towards a conclusion. Bruce, thanks very much. Do appreciate you joining us this morning.
Pleasure.